and welcome. You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3. My name is Andrew Popel, and the show is Final Draft. It is books, writing, and literary culture coming to you every week and recording in social isolation at the moment. Thank you for joining me at home where I am right now. And I want to start. We normally record from Broadway, which is on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. I want to pay respects to the traditional owners. And where I am recording right now is also on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. So again, I pay my respects to those traditional owners. And as I said, we are still recording in isolation. It is still so important that, you know, we maintain that social distancing and, you know, just keep it up for a little bit longer. Things are starting to go back to normal, but normal's probably going to look a little bit different. So everyone out there who's, you know, doing it tough and trying their hardest in this time, like, hats off to you. Maybe books will help you through. That's what I'm here for. And look, you have access to so many, many great author interviews on Final Draft. I've got another one coming up for you today that I'm going to tell you about. But if you need more, there is the Final Draft Great Conversations podcast. Just over the last few weeks, I have had fantastic conversations with debut novelists, Kay Kerr with her book, Please Don't Hug Me, Madeline Watts with The Inland Sea. They are up there right now. And look, today is no exception. I have a fantastic new interview to share with you. The Drop-Off is a debut novel from Fiona Harris and Mike McLeish, but you may well know their names. They are actors, directors. They write for the stage and for the screen. And The Drop-Off has, you know, grown out of a web series that they created all around that fascinating time of dropping off the kids at school. And what, when they wrote it, was probably designed to be a fantastic bit of social satire, has emerged in our COVID-19 times as this really interesting look back to a time when we used to sit on benches together and give each other hugs. I am so excited to be speaking with Mike about The Drop-Off. It is a fantastic, funny, insightful novel. And it's also a really interesting look at just a few months ago and our pre-COVID-19 times. You are on Final Draft on 2SER 107.3. Thank you for joining me. And I will be back with that conversation with Mike McLeish after this short message.
2SER wishes to acknowledge the custodians of the land from which we broadcast, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wadumatagal clan of the Darug Nation, and their elders past, present and emerging. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this city and this region.
You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3 and this is Final Draft. My name is Andrew Popel, and as always, I am here to talk books, writing, and literary culture with a fantastic new Australian novel. The Drop-Off is written by Fiona Harris and Mike McLeish. Now, Fiona and Mike are both what you might call a triple threat in they act, they write, they direct. That doesn't quite sum them up, though. And since sextuple is a weird word to use with someone that you've just met, I'll add that Mike also sings, dances, and performs cabaret, while Fiona is a producer and also writes children's books. Together, they have created The Drop-Off, and Mike is joining me to discuss the messy politics of school drop-offs. Welcome, Mike. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. Sorry Fiona can't be here. She sends her best.
And look, we have spiritually with us her creation in The Drop-Off. And I want to sort of tell people a little bit about this, because every morning at Bay Tree Primary, Lizzie, Megan and Sam convene over coffee as their kids trundle off to class. They're a self-contained trio, Lizzie, a midwife, Megan, a former model turned designer, and Sam, an ex-chef, or as he prefers, he just doesn't get paid for it anymore. Enthusiastic parents in activewear need not apply. These three have their morning friendship, and that is enough for them. Now, The Drop-Off started as a web series that both you and Fiona wrote and starred in. The episodes, like the book, focus on the interactions between Lizzie, Sam, and Megan. The chemistry, though, comes from more than their shared circumstances. Parents doing The Drop-Off at school are by necessity those whose careers and life choices have taken them out of that 9-to-5. What attracted you to writing about these sorts of characters?
I think initially, and for the same reason that we wanted to make the web series, is that what we found in our experience of the school where our girls attended primary school is that we made friends when we didn't want to. We had no interest in making any new friends. We were done with that. We had the friends that we had and that was it. And then all of a sudden you form these accidental friendships that become a really important part of your life because, unsurprisingly, you see these people at the drop-off more often than you see friends that you might have a really long history with. You see these people 5 days a week and all of a sudden they're the people that you look forward to seeing and they're the people that you look forward to sharing news with and they're the people that you look forward to confiding in. So we wanted to explore exactly what that meant to people, those accidental friendships that turn into really important relationships.
I guess it's a bit of a cliche almost of life that, people have these knit group of friends that they've carried through from school and university. Did it challenge your idea of what friendship even means to have these friendships thrust upon you that perhaps were not of your choosing, but it sounds like worked out really well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the main differences between Fiona and me is Fiona has maintained friendships from almost from birth. Like she has so many people that she considers to be her best friends. And I've always been more of a loner. I've got, my one best mate from school that I still see and we still catch up. But really, more often than not, I'm just Fiona's plus one at every social gathering, And so when we started making these friends at primary school, I mean, both our girls are in high school now, but these people that we met, and I can think of, there are four families off the top of my head who we now count as some of our closest friends. And it's a strange thing, particularly for me, to rediscover the ability to build a friendship in your mid-40s. Again, it was something I was completely ambivalent about. I didn't want to do it. But in the same way, the book's a lot about community and getting involved and dipping your toe in the water of volunteering and getting involved. And what seems like a chore initially, once you actually take that first step, you find a lot of joy and satisfaction in it. And that it was the same for me with making these friendships.
I think what you've just said there, like so many things in the drop-off for the reader, is going to resonate in this unconscious way, things that maybe we've never brought to the fore of our thinking mind, but yes, that makes so much sense, except that in any other month, on any other planet, anywhere, the drop-off might have landed as clever social satire and commentary, but instead, in the middle of a pandemic and social isolation, this reads more like social contact fetish. There's so much human contact and people sitting on benches together. We're talking just as schools are starting to welcome students back one day a week. How has all this changed the way you think about your book?
It is to make the understatement of our lifetime, it's bizarre. We had no intention of writing what has become sort of a nostalgia piece. It feels like when we've been reading excerpts and sort of doing as much publicity as we can to get this book out into the world, it reads like an alternate universe now. You're reading scenes of just kids running around a playground and people hugging and shaking hands and exchanging coffee and sitting on benches and doing all these things that until relatively recently seemed completely natural and now seem completely alien. So, I mean, for the most part, we feel really happy to be able to put something that we've created out into the world at a time like this, particularly something that, basically everything that we write, we want it to have equal parts humour and heart. And we feel like now more than ever, people don't necessarily want to be reading novels about a dystopian future because we're in the middle of the dystopian future. So maybe it's a nice time just to take a break from that and read something that that deliberately wants to make you smile and feel good.
It definitely does it made me smile. It made me feel good. It was just so interesting because it is so recent that this was a very contemporary novel. And even this morning as I walked to get a coffee, sort of one of my very limited daily excursions, I walked past a cafe that had, I think, only three pairs of chairs out, and I thought, wow, that's a bit extreme, guys. Come on, too soon.
It's so true. I mean, you know, we find ourselves, you know, last night, we do a family movie night every Friday, and last night we watched Sister Act, which I don't think I'd ever watched the whole way through. And the amount of scenes that involve audiences and crowds and large gatherings, and you could say, and both our daughters and us as well, was sort of bristling at just the sight of it, at the sight of a large group of people standing in the same place, shoulder to shoulder. You know, social distancing has become such a crucial part of our day-to-day existence and our minute-to-minute existence that even just seeing that on screen is sort of jarring.
This is Final Draft on 2SER 107.3. My name is Andrew Popel, and I am speaking with Mike McLeish. We are discussing his debut novel along with his writing partner, Fiona Harris. It is called The Drop-Off. We're going to come back with more of that conversation, but we're going to take a track right now. This is from Adelaide band Blood Circle. We're going to be listening to their new track, Shutdown. We'll be right back. You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3. The show is Final Draft. It is books writing and literary culture. Just there, we heard a new track from Blood Circle. It is called Shut Down. They are an Adelaide band. So, I mean, we still can't go out and see gigs. We still really are limited in the ways we can consume the arts, but we can still listen and we can still support local artists. So if you want to support Blood Circle, hunt them down online, go to their band camp, buy their music. It is one way that you can continue to support the art scene. Another way is to buy books. Today on the show, I am speaking with Mike McLeish along with Fiona Harris. They have written a novel called The Drop-Off. It is a hilarious look at the phenomenon of the school drop-off, something that's looking very different for parents right now. Let's get back to Mike and find out a little bit more about creating this book. And of course, then the acting turns to the reader who has to create these characters from the words you've given them. And each of these characters has their own voice. And you captured this in the writing. Lizzie is written in the first person, Megan in the third, and Sam's story is epistolary, captured in emails to his best mate. What was the motivation behind those decisions?
One of the motivations was practical, because I wrote all of the Sam chapters. They were the only chapters that all of the first draft and sort of final draft came from me, because Sam was the character that I played in the web series, so it was very much my voice. Most of the web series was written predominantly by me first, because that's much more my wheelhouse. I can write short form really well. Because I don't have to worry about a narrative structure and story arcs and character arcs. I can just sort of bang a few jokes on a page and string it together. But when it came to the writing of the novel, one of the reasons that Sam's chapters are in email form was so that I didn't have to constantly keep up with where Fiona was at with the plotting of the story. It meant that I could write these emails and they could exist as standalone pieces. And then as we got further into the redrafting process, we would get together and she'd come back and say, oh, now in this chapter, in this email, Sam should mention where we're up to in Lizzie's story and Megan's story, and he should be aware of that. So there was that practical concern, but also, and it was Fiona's initial concept to have those three different voices and three different perspectives, is that we wanted there to be those varied perspectives so that the reader could almost not necessarily choose which one to embrace, but not be led down the path of just one character's perspective on a situation and a story. So it just felt like it was a broader approach and a more interesting approach, and also just giving more of an insight into each of these characters as individual protagonists, so that it wasn't just one person's story.
I imagine also, I mean, the conceit as we enter the novel is that these friends connect on the school bench at the drop-off, but their lives are very separate apart from that. So it would have been very hard to unify a narrative that followed them all without going a little too omniscient narrator. I also wondered about Sam's emails. These are very open and emotional letters to a friend that he's obviously very close with. And did they in any way reflect the ways, I guess, that men are perhaps socially limited or limiting themselves in communicating feelings? It's hard to imagine that much of the openness that Sam includes in his emails, say, happening down at the pub. Not that anything much is happening down at the pub these days.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, it's a very particular form of correspondence, particularly between particularly heterosexual men. But when you're dealing with the written word and you're corresponding with your closest friend and it's completely private, then there is a very different person that you're talking to. You're absolutely right. You know, Sam would not be catching up with anyone at the drop-off or at the pub and speaking to anyone and sharing with anyone the way that he does in these emails with his closest friend. And particularly because of where Sam's at in his life, he's in an unhappy marriage, he feels emasculated, he feels unfulfilled, and this connection that he has with his best friend it's an emotional outlet for him. It's somewhere that he can vent, it's somewhere he can say exactly what he feels to someone that he knows and trusts and loves. So you're absolutely right, and it's another reason, quite apart from the practical reasons of me being a lazy writer that just fills in the gaps of Fiona, that those chapters were written as emails for exactly that reason, so that he could share much more freely than he would in his day-to-day life.
Now, in the drop-off, the part of the beauty of reading the drop-off is the interplay between these characters. And I may be kidding myself, but I felt I saw some of the stage experience that you both bring to the book, because the interplay is just gorgeous. But also much of the action and the drama is that of everyday life. It's the drama in the detail. Lizzie, Megan and Sam, they have their routines and they're happy to have them stay that way, but fate and the school administration conspire against them. When the school's lollipop man Henry dies, it forces this both personal introspection but also volunteering. Megan's particularly affected by Henry's death. Are these sorts of daily somethings that we too often consign to the background, are they something that we should be paying more attention to? I mean, especially now, I feel like we read something like The Drop-Off and it's just the halcyon days of when minor detail was something that we could afford to ignore.
I think that's a really interesting point to make, and it's something that I hadn't thought about, but I think you're absolutely right. I mean, part of what we love about the story that we're telling in the book is that those little experiences that you're talking about do more often than not get left behind. But this, our book explores what happens when you don't leave those things behind, when you hold them with you and take them with you into the next minute, the next hour, the next day, the next week. And I couldn't agree more. I think when we can get back to whatever normal is going to be, I think people are naturally going to do that, because these small interactions that we have now, I mean, my mum, who's been on her own isolating for, you know, as long as everyone else, 2 months, and she's been on her own and I've been taking her shopping every now and then. And yesterday she went down to get her mail and saw the postman and had a little chat. And she called me afterwards and said, I cannot believe how much more human I feel after just having the tiniest little interaction that would have been completely taken for granted before this. But for her, this little interaction with the postie reconnected her to her humanity, made her feel sane again, and it made her, I mean, almost ecstatic. So I think you're exactly right. I think that I think we all hope that there is going to be more embracing of these, all the minutiae of our day-to-day lives, just paying more attention to those experiences and letting them get under your skin a bit more, absorbing them a bit more, trying to figure out what they mean to you, what they mean to those around you, because we are, I think it's a wonderful thing that we're developing more of a sense of community and being a good neighbour and all those things that I think we all hope will continue on once we get past this remarkable and appalling part of history. But yeah, I hadn't thought about that. So you've got me thinking out loud now, but I think the absolute ideal would be that all these little things, and all the little things in the book that sort of snowball into this experience of these people discovering how much they rely on each other and trust each other, that maybe that sort of thing can happen less in fiction and more in real life.
Another really interesting aspect of that development of each character, and this is perhaps something that we might not be able to take so much away from our current isolation, though, is the juxtaposition between these moments of their past that are constantly dragging them out of the present. I think The Drop-Off is a book that has so much to experience page to page. I don't think I could spoil too much of the action, but I'm still going to be a bit circumspect here. Very much, though, Megan is constantly battling her former self, who was a model, and is avoiding interactions that consciously bring that to the fore, because she is who she is now. Lizzie has an event in her past that is constantly dragging her out of her present and meaning that she can't live there. And even Sam, to a greater extent, as he struggles with what is happening in his marriage, it's brought, you know, constantly being brought to his attention that he is not the working, masterful chef that he once was. And it just it's really interesting the way in each of those characters that juxtaposition of then and now constantly takes them away from living.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's something that I think everyone struggles with those feelings. I've struggled for years with senses of lots of regrets or shame about events of the past. And what we wanted to explore in the book was how, you know, is it even possible to genuinely exist in the now and to let go of your past? Because ultimately we think the answer is, well, no, because everything that's happened in the past informs the person that you are and the person that you will be the next day. And whatever happens to you today, that's going to affect the person you are tomorrow. So it's all a part of who you are, but it's, and I mean, you know, this is verging on dangerous self-help territory, but it's much more about embracing those experiences or just taking the time to observe those experiences as something that, yep, that happened, I did that and I'm not proud of it, or that happened and that was horrible, but just not letting it define the person that you have the potential to be today or tomorrow.
I am speaking with Mike McLeish, and dear reader, you have the opportunity to do this yourself because you can go and watch the web series and then get the book, or you can do what I did and read the book and then explore the web series. And it creates, or it allows you to create your own world with these beautiful, fabulous characters. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for sharing the drop-off with me.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Andrew. It's been a real joy to talk to you. Thank you.
Did you know 2SER relies on donations and supporters to air your favourite programs? You can contribute too. Head to 2ser.com/support and choose between making a donation or clicking the supporter button. Stories, ideas, music. 2SER 107.3.
Hey, this is Hoba Mallow from Mighty Real, and I'm currently making my show for 2SER from home. And let me be honest, it's actually a luxury. I'm loaded up with snacks, drinks, and music here, and we're all going through this together. So please stay at home. We need to flatten that damn curve for everybody's sake to protect our community from coronavirus.
You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3. My name is Andrew Popel, and this is Final Draft for a few minutes longer. Thank you so much for joining me today for Books, Writing and Literary Culture. Today we featured The Drop-Off from Fiona Harris and Mike McLeish. Thank you so much to Mike for joining me on the show from Melbourne, online, and we're still all in, you know, varying degrees of social isolation, but it is great to be able to connect and share these conversations. If you missed anything, if you want to discover just a little bit more, you can go to the Final Draft Great Conversations podcast. On the conversation for today's show, Mike and I will get deeper into the connection between writing for the stage and screen and writing a novel, and a little bit of the inspiration behind The Drop-Off. It is time for me to say goodbye. If you are listening, wherever you are listening, 2SER is a community radio station. You are our community and we rely on you. We're supporter funded. So if you would like to become a supporter, if you would like to make a donation, you can go to 2SER.com and click on the supporter button. Every dollar is so important to us because it is how we continue to broadcast to you. So thank you so much to everyone who is a supporter. Thank you to everyone who has made a donation. And if you are thinking of making a donation, thank you to you as well. My name is Andrew Popel. I have to say goodbye, but do stay tuned to 2SER. I've got to say, I think that our programming is just the greatest. I'm going to be listening today, and I will be back next week with more books. Till then, happy reading.
From 2SER comes the brand new third series of All Things Equal. Digital Divides investigates the impact the tech revolution is having on our human rights.
We are living digital lives, yeah, great, but we're also still humans.
There are amazing innovations and also terrifying consequences.
I think access to technology is extremely important.
genetic engineering, surveillance nations, conscious AI.
When is AI going to be all around us? It's kind of all around us now.
This is one of those science technologies that you cannot stop.
Hear all about it on Digital Divides. Episodes out now. Listen on your favourite podcast app.
Stories, ideas,